Welcome, everybody, to episode 335 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 24th, 2018, a week before Spooky Boo Holiday. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by J-Not Trip and J-Trip.
Thank you for making, for clarifying that this week instead of last week. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm actually, if you can't tell, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I don't want to blame it on Gutenberg. I think I may have a sniffles block going on or something. I don't know, but
that's adorable.
I've got something going on here. It's that time of the year, but yes. Whatever.
Power. I've been waking up with it. I take a shower and then I have like a sneeze fit of like 12 sneezes, and then I'm fine. But like every day, it's like a clockwork. Feel terrible and then get over it. Feel fine.
I know a guy that sometimes we hang out with him and he drinks beer. And then after he drinks beer, like about a half hour after he drinks it, he has a sneezing fit. And it only happens after he drinks beer.
You know, it's a real thing. It's a wheat allergy or something else, right?
But guess what? He still drinks beer.
So, he does still drink beer.
So we got an awesome guest on today. His name is Topher DeRosa. You may have heard from him about HeroPress. We had him on the show not too long ago. But he's back here ready to tell us about BigCommerce, which quite honestly, before he mentioned it and he got into my timeline and started mentioning it, I had no idea what BigCommerce was. But as it turns out, this company has been around since 2009, and they're pretty big in the e-commerce space. So
it's in the name, actually. Big.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, geez, I can't believe I missed that one. I teed it up for you. Thank you for hitting it out of the park. So Topher, man, thanks a lot for taking some time out of your day and joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. How is life up there in Grand Rapids?
Great. The maple trees are turning this week, so they're all yellow and orange, and the sun's shining through them and lighting up the whole world. It's beautiful.
Oh boy, I tell you,
Grand Rapids is a beautiful city. I've said this on the show multiple times before, but every WordCamp that I've ever gone to, I'm always remarking on how beautiful the downtown is, how clean it is, cool little areas and pockets. It's like a great little spot in Michigan. I really like it there.
So before we get into our main topic, since we have you on the show, kind of give us a brief update on what's going on the HeroPress front.
Oh, boy. Not a whole lot different. Several months ago, I don't know, maybe a year ago, I switched from doing weekly posts to doing monthly posts.
Ah, okay.
For two reasons. One, there's just a little less planning that I have to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the other is that I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. It's a long time. And then a lot of the early posts were made before current fans were readers. Mm-hmm. So nobody saw them. So I was doing a little blog post each week about a past essay and putting it up. And it's done all right. It doesn't get as much traffic as a new one, but it does pretty well. I've noticed something really interesting about my audience. It used to be about half and half people that I know and people that I don't know coming from planet.wordpress.org, which I don't know if you realize this, but is on the dashboard of WordPress. Yeah. So in the last couple of years, it has dramatically switched away from people I know to people I don't know. People who are really big fans at the beginning, I don't know, maybe they're just done with it, tired of it. Maybe it's a normal part of life, so they don't comment on it, but I don't hear much about it anymore. But traffic is still pretty good coming from Planet. So, you know, that's encouraging.
Well, engagement is like one of those things that's is measurable, but is hard to quantify or like maintain or, you know, it's you decide what the metrics are that are important for you. I think being in the WordPress dashboard of everybody and connected to the planet is kind of like is kind of a goal that you don't think you're striving for until it happens, and you're like, oh, this is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
But then what happens after that, right? Like, you don't.
Yep.
What's your goal when you've already reached a goal you didn't think you were striving for? So, you know, yeah. The goal, I think, the ink is just keep blogging, right? Is just keep up with it, and that's keep telling the stories that you're telling.
Yeah. At this point, I kind of am just going for longevity.
Yep.
I think it'll loop back around, and people will say, hey, you know, I haven't read Hero Press in a long time. Let's go read a whole bunch of them. And
I like Jorbin's was good. I like There Are No Shortcuts from JC. Mm-hmm. Cammy's was good. There's like lots of good posts here from like with people that are like, you have good authors, and all the posts are high quality. This is still keeping up with it, I think, is smart.
I'm booked out right now till almost June.
Nice.
That's so awesome. And there's some really good ones coming. I'm excited. Good.
So I brought you on to talk about BigCommerce. You've you are now employed by BigCommerce. You went out there, you did some training, so I figured, you know, who better to learn about BigCommerce from than Mr. Topher DeRozier. So I guess let's start off with how did you come across BigCommerce, and tell us a little bit about what you learned and what you experienced through the job training process. Tell us a little bit about your company. Or not your company, but the company.
Right, yeah. It's mine now. I acquired it.
Easy.
How we got connected is a really fun story. They started working on their WordPress project probably a year ago, and made the very wise decision to hire Modern Tribe, and another wise decision to also hire XWP. And they're doing different parts of the task, but they're working together to build this thing. And if you know anything about WordPress, you know that those are great teams. But I have been employed by both of them in the past. And they were, BigCommerce was planning all along to hire a WordPress community evangelist, developer evangelist. That's an important note. It's a developer evangelist. But they were going to hire around November, and I was unemployed for about the first half of this year. And they were in a meeting with Luke Carbis from XWP out in Australia, and mentioned that they were going to be looking for somebody. And he said, oh, hey, Topher might be good for this. So he sent me a text. It was 10 p.m. I was laying in bed, 10 p.m. here, because he's in Australia. And he said, hey, would you want to be a community developer evangelist? I said, well, yeah. Who wouldn't? So that's pretty much all it took. We had one interview 2 days later, and 2 days after that I had an offer, and I took it. And just like that, I took a couple weeks before starting the job to hang out with family, and then flew off to Austin to do a little training. I did 4 days of training, and immediately they flew me to Sydney for WordCamp Sydney.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a great way to start a job, let me tell you.
You know, I love Austin also, so you're speaking my language when it comes to all these places.
It's pretty cool. I've been having a good time.
Do you love Austin because you don't live there, but it has so much cool stuff?
You know, Carrie and I got married outside of Austin. Memories of South by Southwest in the early days of meeting everybody, and Ryan Boren lives just outside of in Dripping Springs.
Nice.
Austin is a beautiful, fun place.
So I was doing a little bit of research on BigCommerce, and I found out that it kind of started in 2009 when Eddie McElhaney or Mitchell Harper.
Yeah,
they met in a online chat room in 2003.
Yeah,
and then in August of 2009, they launched. They relaunched a hosted version of, I guess it was the InnerSpire shopping cart, and then they called that BigCommerce, and that's when they opened up their first U.S. office. And for a long time, for a number of years, they were 100% bootstrapped.
Yeah, they're mostly out of the picture now. They hired smart people to run their company, and they're doing a good job. I saw Eddie give a talk not too long ago in the offices, but Mostly it's all new people. In August, I went down for 4 weeks of training. 4 weeks? 2 weeks. 2 weeks of training. And I went through their support ninja training, which is the deepest they have. If you go in for marketing, you don't do that training. So I got a really deep dive into the platform and what it can do and how it's built and all that kind of stuff. And I was profoundly impressed. It really shows what happens when you concentrate on one task for 10 years. They've been doing e-commerce as a SaaS for a really long time, and they are exceptionally good at it.
So that was my question, almost maybe too high level, but at least for myself and for listeners, the pitch from BigCommerce.com is manage shipping and payments to list your products on Amazon, eBay, and Facebook. Try it free, no credit card required. And it reminded me of what made Instagram really popular in the very beginning was its ability to give you one place to post photos, but give you a way, a centralized way to link send them out to all these places. And so without having a BigCommerce site myself, is that a fair comparison, or can you tell a little bit?
I would say so. We call them channels, and we have a channels API. And so you have your BigCommerce store, and then you can set up Amazon as a channel, and your products are then on Amazon. But it's still tied to your store, so inventory is tracked properly and things like that. And then you can set up the Facebook channel and tangentially the Instagram channel. I didn't realize this before, but you don't sell on Instagram.
Right.
You take pictures of products and put them on Instagram and say, go buy these on Facebook. So there's the Amazon channel, the Facebook channel, the eBay channel. And what's really interesting now is WordPress is actually a new channel.
That's pretty neat.
It's just one more place to do it.
So how does that work? A lot of information on the BigCommerce.com website exactly outlining that. So I'm curious to hear about it.
So here's the nerd speak. There's an API and it syncs the data down and puts it in custom post types.
Okay.
Metadata is in the meta table in a big JSON blob. Images are pulled in. There's obviously one that's set as a featured image, but if a product has multiple images, they're stored appropriately. So everything's locally cached.
Nice.
And once everything is synced, it feels very much like any other WordPress e-commerce platform. You have your custom post types, you get your metadata, all that stuff. One of the things that makes it particularly cool, though, is that all the heavy lifting is done on the BigCommerce side. So when you check out, there's going to be an embedded iframe, which removes the need for PCI compliance and allows us to leverage all of the back-end gadgets we have for shipping and all that stuff. I was a little dubious at first. Iframes are iframes.
Right.
But I saw it, and it's amazing. I was really impressed.
That was the same thing when we built Jetpack Comments was really, we're going to use an iframe, but like there really wasn't a better option in order to get back into WordPress.com comments and all that. And so iframes are one of those things where it's easy to like, they feel wrong or whatever. Yeah. That is what they are designed to do. That is what that HTML component is for. I'm on board. I felt the same way, but that is exactly, it might feel like doing it wrong, but I think that using that for checkout is totally doing it right.
Yeah.
Last year, you know, talking about SaaS and being able to use leverage the systems that you have behind the scenes of BigCommerce, we've seen that last year at the last State of the Woo, how they announced that how they were leveraging Jetpack and they were doing some things to leverage Jetpack and Automatics backend to do things like shipping and some of the other mathematical equations. Yeah, taxes as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the big performance things that we're doing is storing orders on the BigCommerce side. So there's no personal data, there's no order data, there's nothing on the WordPress side. So when it comes time to process your orders and stuff like that, I mean, that's one of the places where WooCommerce falls down, is when it's trying to calculate things over a large number of sales. And we go really fast there.
That's the thing that's nice about having it live externally. Like, this is, there are some people that do want to own that data. There are some, for a lot of folks, a WooCommerce install, an EDD install, you want to own it. And that is who you are and what you believe in. And that's a thing that you ask yourself to do.
Yep.
And then for other folks, there is a segment, there is an audience of people who are, they don't want anything to do with that. And that is a respectable thing to acknowledge and offload all of that to somebody else. That was like one of the first conversations I ever had with Mark Jakewith in WordPress land, was like, building this thing, thinking about doing some transactional stuff, but don't want to store credit card info in a BuddyPress thing.
Right.
Why would you?
Yeah.
I know I don't, but do we, is there a, is this rational, you know? And for some people you want it, and for some people you don't. So I think it's smart to offload that to BigCommerce, because why store that locally if you don't have to?
Yeah. One of the reasons, one of the reasons BigCommerce started doing this really appealed to me when I was looking at the job, because I was a little wary. It seemed like too good to be true, but it is impressive. When it used to be, when people would come to BigCommerce from WooCommerce, the number one reason was that WooCommerce was getting too slow. It wasn't performant, you know. And it wasn't just because they're on a bad server. It's because they were starting to do multi-million dollar a month sales, you know? And so BigCommerce said, well, what if we did this with the SaaS, with WordPress, and removed the parts of WooCommerce that make it slow? And the goal was to keep people on WordPress. People were leaving WordPress to go to BigCommerce. And we're saying, don't leave WordPress. Use both. Use us in your WordPress site. So part of our goal is to keep people on WordPress to help out Team 51, as it were. So I liked that when they came to me and they said, we're not here to kill Woo. We're not here to kill WordPress. We are here to advance WordPress, to pick up where Woo falls down, and keep people where they are and keep people happy.
Well, it's one of the things that came up a lot when Automattic originally acquired WooCommerce was, you know, just throw it in Jetpack, WooCommerce in the cloud, call it done. And that wasn't the goal, really. I mean, if it's somebody's Illuminati end goal, then it's never been that way, right? Like, it's when I started digging into BigCommerce and what y'all do and what they have done for the 10 years that they've been chipping away at it, is the opposite approach to solving the same problems. And there is huge value in that, because they do eventually converge a little bit after a long enough period of time. And so WordPress is flexible enough to allow for companies like BigCommerce to make that move when they're ready. And then in the same way that Automattic acquiring Woo, if that's a direction that they as a company choose to go for themselves, WooCommerce can say what it is, and Automattic can do what they choose. It is nice to have those long term roadmaps and options.
And I heard from a lot of people even people who love WoW and will never leave it, that they're glad there's one more player. Mm-hmm. Somebody else on the field, pushing the limits, coming up with ideas, you know, challenging the status quo, all of that.
Well, I mean, WooCommerce is like the number one in market share for e-commerce, especially as it relates to WordPress. So the anybody who can get involved in that area that could sort of say, you know, knock on their door and say, hey, we're here, you know, and get them to continue advancing instead of getting comfortable, you know, the more the merrier.
Yep. So I have cool numbers for you if you want them.
I love numbers, and I was going to ask
for
four numbers, but I didn't want to press the issue in case it was like a non-answer answer. So, of course, I want.
You said press the issue. I got it.
So, BigCommerce has over 60 integrated payment gateways in over 120 countries. And this one threw me a little bit because I didn't understand it first. They have over 250 local payment methods, which is different from a payment gateway. So I asked for an example, and one of them is, let's see, Ideal from Adyen. Apparently in the Netherlands, everybody uses this to pass money back and forth. It's like Venmo, sort of.
Sure, Venmo, chat, there's a bunch of other.
So we don't support Ideal directly, but we support Adyen, which supports like 60. Mm-hmm. Which is why we support 60, but we have available over 250 local payment methods. And that all comes with the 30 a month payment plan. It's really slick. We have tons and tons of, it would translate to be Word plugin partners, people who add on to BigCommerce. There's a cool one called Afterpay. I just met them the other day. It's sort of like putting something on layaway. No, not layaway. You make payments on it.
Oh, Affirm, is that one? Carrie and I were just talking about this the other day.
But there's no interest. Time, but. Yeah. So you say, I want to pay over 4 months in four payments, and Afterpay says, fine, and they pay the store for you. So the store gets all their money right up front.
Yeah.
The store pays a little extra, so that's how Afterpay makes their money. Yeah, and you just make your quarterly payments, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Affirm is the same way. What did we use it for? I think she used it for like a couch or something. And then as soon as she did it, because, you know, we live in the same household, like I started seeing a bunch of ads for Affirm. Trees and stuff on the Wi-Fi. I was like, what is this that I'm seeing? And so it's a kind of a neat idea to integrate all that stuff into a payment process.
Right, so, boy, once you start doing stuff with e-commerce, you know, if you're building your own platform or working with it, it I guess you get an in-depth look on how people across the world exchange money for goods.
Yeah.
So those numbers realize there are that many processors.
Gateways. Oh yeah. So those numbers were for gateways and stuff, but the same sorts of numbers exist for just about everything else, like shipping and whatnot, because we're in 120 countries, and every country has their own little shipping service that tries to streamline things and connect your store better with UPS or FedEx or whatever. Or maybe those shippers don't even go to that country. So when you sign up and you hook your store up to BigCommerce, you magically have access to all that stuff, and it blows my mind.
So you get access to that stuff, just you don't have to pay for add-ons or plugins or things like that, which
some you don't.
Okay.
Think of it to a certain extent like paid add-ons. So, like, if you want to use Shipper HQ or something, then you're gonna create an account with Shipper HQ and activate the plugin in BigCommerce, and then it works.
So does BigCommerce have like a marketplace?
Yeah, they do. And just like WordPress, there are many, many free ones, and then there are many paid ones. It just depends on where you want to go with that.
So when we think of e-commerce, it used to be WP e-commerce for WordPress. Yeah. Then it became WooCommerce. And now we have BigCommerce, which has created a WordPress channel. Here, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a marketer. What is your sales pitch for listeners out there who may be intrigued? How can you motivate them to at least check out what BigCommerce has to offer?
Well, you can check it out for free.
Okay.
At this very moment, you have to go to bigcommerce.com/WordPress and sign up for access to GitHub. But we're going to change that this weekend at WordCamp Philly and make it open on GitHub. Ooh. And submit to .org. So however long it takes to get through that process. So you'll be able to get it easily in GitHub and then later this week on .org. So you can try it for free. You get 15 days on BigCommerce for free. You can set up your store. You can go to town. Setting it up on WordPress. So this is a pitch for people who are already on BigCommerce. Setting it up on WordPress can't hurt your store. Mm-hmm. This is easy to try, and you can't break anything. So by all means, give it a shot. See what you think. For people who are, say, on WooCommerce, BigCommerce is going to scale a lot better. And we bring a lot to the table. We have 24/7 phone support at all levels. Something goes wrong, give us a call. Somebody will pick up the phone, and they will walk you through whatever it is. Relatively speaking, it's inexpensive. It's hard to say cheaper than Woo because Woo is free. But anybody who's ever set up a store and gone to the Woo market and bought $1,000 worth of add-ons knows that Woo is not free. You want a serious store. You can get set up with us for $30 or $80 a month and do a great MVP and see how things go. Let's see. I covered support. I covered expense. Experience. Tons and tons of experience. These people know e-commerce inside and out, backwards and forwards. I've never met a group of people who know e-commerce better, which is good because they've been doing it a really long time. This is their job, and they don't do anything else. It blows my mind how well they know e-commerce.
So since Jeff puts you on the spot, and since I'm usually better at making people feel uncomfortable for real than Jeff is, I'm going to read it, man. BigCommerce.com/WordPress that says, "Made the WordPress way. From the beginning, we set out to build our integration, the WordPress way, to deliver value to the community, build it with WordPress experts, and make something developers can make their own."
Mm-hmm.
So are you able
what does that to mean?
Talk about what that means or who BigCommerce partnered with or what the process was to make that happen?
As I mentioned, it was built by Modern Tribe.
Hello, Modern Tribe. Hello. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. So they know WordPress. They know it inside and out. We followed the standard WordPress template hierarchy system. So in the plugin is a folder full of templates, copy them to your theme, tear them apart, put them back together, your heart's content. Lots and lots of hooks, lots of filters. So, I mean, if you've ever worked on, say, EDD, you know how nice it is to have hooks and filters and templates and all that stuff. If you are a competent WordPress developer, you're going to be able to dive into BigCommerce without any problem at all.
Good. Cool. That answers my... It's less uncomfortable than I thought it was going to
be. I think you'd have to ask weirder questions than that to make me uncomfortable. That is not a challenge.
That's a job for me. I can easily do that job. Well, I want to... Before we let you go here, I know we didn't spend... a whole heck of a lot of time on this, but I want to let our listeners out there know that this is not this episode, because some people might get the wrong impression. This is not an advertisement. Topher didn't pay to be on the show. This isn't some sponsor review or any of that. No. Any of that crap. So I just didn't know. I didn't really know about BigCommerce. Topher is involved with the company. And I figured you know, why not? He asked to be on the show, and I said, yeah, come on the show and inform me and the audience as to what BigCommerce is and why they're making a play in the WordPress scene. And here we go. You know, you gave us a pretty good overview of what the company is doing. So I hope listeners actually who may have never heard of BigCommerce before, at least visit the website and check it out.
I mean, the fact that it's Topher, the fact that there's a WordPress plugin, it's educational for listeners. I don't think this is something that needs, you don't need to justify this, Jeff. This is.
I don't need to justify it. I just feel better when I do.
I know, but you
somebody somewhere is going to say something.
Yeah,
sure,
somewhere.
But there, you know, that's you can't stop.
Yeah. I am so excited about the idea that there's one more e-commerce platform in WordPress that is legitimate, like a serious effort, that I would be here talking about it even if I didn't work there. It's we have t-shirts that say it's kind of a big deal. but it is. I mean, if you think about it, just the fact that there's another major player is kind of a big deal.
And I'll mention before you go that I really like your WordPress theme on your blog, Topher.
Thank you.
What it is, but I like the way it looks. It looks.
I built that myself.
I really like it.
There's a site called HTML5 something, and it's 150 HTML5 templates. They're not WordPress.
No, right.
And I had to do a tutorial on how to build a theme. And so I picked one of those and I made it. And that's what I'm using. And it was going to go on .org and I got lazy and haven't submitted it yet. But at some point I will.
I really like that on like ultra wide displays, it shows the sidebar, but that generally it doesn't. It like responds real well. It's like very airy and simple and breathable.
I love the mobile nav. It's really, really slick. The
nav is very slick.
Are you talking about topher1kenobi.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good with no sidebar.
There are very few times where I'll pull up somebody's personal blog and go like, that's a nice looking blog, but it's I just figured I'd bring that up.
Well, it's a heck of a lot better than JTrips.
No kidding. Mine is as bootstrappy as I could get because I was lazy. So
Topher's actually has content on it.
Yes, it does. Yeah. He's posted recently. Yeah, that's
most of it's pretty old. Hurt, but
well, Topher, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show, telling us a little bit about BigCommerce, and congrats on the new gig, man. Hopefully, thanks. You're happy there and. Stick it around is. For a while, and you can make inroads into the e-commerce space. And I imagine that being an evangelist, you're probably going to show up at a few WordCamps either this year or next year talking about e-commerce.
So I want to say two things. I mentioned this earlier. They hired me to be a developer evangelist, not a community evangelist. So my job is to talk to developers and convince them that this is a good platform. And then when their customers go to them and say, hey, I need e-commerce, give me. Then they turn that way. But yes, WordCamps. I've been to Sydney this year. My wife actually has gotten asked to speak at a whole bunch of them. We're going to Dallas in November.
Oh, I saw that.
BigCommerce is going to be at Philly this weekend doing our release. We're going to Nashville. Big booth. Then next year I've been tasked with going to 20 WordCamps.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, I have to go to Europe.
Hold on.
We have an office in London, so I'm going to go to that one.
20 WordCamps. That's almost two a month.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to do more because those are the big sponsored planned ones. But, Jeff, you know this. There's like eight of them within a 5-hour drive of my house.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to drive over to Milwaukee and Chicago and Kent and Ann Arbor and Jackson.
East Troy.
The Midwest are the best, baby. Yeah. The Midwest camps are my favorites.
So you will definitely see me at WordCamps. And I will probably want to buy you a beer and tell you about BigCommerce.
Oh, darn.
Oh, darn.
Man, I wouldn't turn that down.
Well, I feel like... We should shout out to Kate and
I was just about to do that.
Yeah, that's while we're here, we should.
Kate is one of my favorite WordPress people ever.
Yeah.
Big fan.
She's pretty great. I married her.
She is, and it was like, oh, when she was tweeting and saying how much she missed you when you were at your big commerce training event. So that was nice to read. Yeah, it was adorbs. Oh god, I'm gonna get hate mail for using that word.
But
why use hate mail when I can just cringe on air? Because.
Yeah. Anyways, again, Topher, thank you very much for being on the show. Before we wrap it up, give us one more time where people could get more information about BigCommerce and where can people get in touch with you if they have any questions. Or
go to BigCommerce.com/WordPress and you'll learn a ton. I'm Topher at BigCommerce.com. You can find me on Twitter, Topher1Kenobi. WordPress Slack, Topher1Kenobi. Basically anywhere. If it's social, I'm Topher1Kenobi.
I mentioned this before. I love that name, Topher Kenobi. That's a good name.
It's because it's the coolest.
Yeah. And since we didn't talk about it, I'll even plug bigcommerce.com/apps since we talked about all the extensions that are available. If anyone's curious, is listening, just to see what it is that BigCommerce can hook up to, that seems to be the funnel where there's just like a list of stuff that you've probably never even heard of that BigCommerce supports.
That happened to me. They do highly professional stuff for stores that do $100 million a year that I've never even entered my mind that this was involved with e-commerce.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's pretty cool.
All right, man.
I'll see you guys.
Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, sir.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Bye, Topher. See you.
We have the serious, tough task of talking about stuff going on in the WordPress scene, which there is quite a few. Now, we've mentioned accessibility a lot in the past few weeks, and I did want to say that Matthias Ventura, the Gutenberg Project's technical lead, published a pretty detailed post on the Make WordPress Core blog and with different videos and examples highlighting how accessible or the improvements that they've made to Gutenberg over time to make it more accessible. And I think this was a post that needed to be written, needed to be published. And it's nice to see that it's not just gloom and doom, that there's actually some pretty nice accessibility improvements in Gutenberg. I will say, though, that one of the key arguments against Gutenberg and accessibility is the fact that you have to find out where they are, or you have to figure out how to do all these different shortcuts. There's so many different shortcuts you could do in Gutenberg. And so there's the discoverability factor. There's, you know, how to actually use them factor and all of that nature. But,
did you notice that, I commented on that post, Chad?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I noticed that you commented. In fact, why don't you rehash your comment on here? In case so that you
throw me under that bus again?
Yes, no? Please. Beep, so, beep.
So here is my two cents on this issue. And I am sticking my neck out a little bit, which usually gets your head cut off, right? But I think that Matthias did an amazing job at WordCamp US last year. That presentation blew a lot of people away to showing off Gutenberg. I think we talked about it, just how great that was. It just showing how polished and how, quite frankly, accessible that Gutenberg felt. If you're going to type a slash command, once you discover these things, there's a lot in there that is intended to make Gutenberg feel accessible to everyone. But my comment on that post, and I don't know if you include that in the show notes or not, but my concern, and I have a hard time coming up with a better analogy, is that like Matthias as a developer and a contributor and a leader is a UI savant that can make Gutenberg look and feel really, really great. But accessibility is a completely separate problem to solve that is not solved by adding more interface. Generally, to make software accessible, it needs to be baked in to how it is. iOS did an okay job of baking it in and then did a great job of supplementing the foundation of accessibility in subsequent releases to iOS. iPhones are really, really great in terms of accessibility at this point. They weren't always. They were okay, but they got better. But the thing with Matias's post, which he replied to me also, I haven't found the time to reply back, but we've had a good comment thread there. And I never got to work with Matias directly when I was at Automattic, but I do have a lot of faith in his ability to make things great and to do really good work. But accessibility is a different problem. And so adding more UI is like, you know, when my terrible analogy is, if you ask a surgeon how to solve a problem, they're going to cut. You know, if you ask a UI designer how to solve a problem, they're going to put more UI at it. And so accessibility is something that is not about more. It is usually about less. It is about simpler. It is about easier. It is not about discovery. It is discoverability. It is about just fundamental ability. It needs to be a part of the thing. And so all of the ways that Gutenberg and Matias and everyone else has kind of made things extra on top of it to make it better, I'm skeptical, not in a FUD way, but in a, like, folks have kind of looked at it and said that it actually isn't really helping them out yet way. And so I hope that, you know, like we talked about on the show before, that there is an emphasis on accessibility, not just with adding more things, but in removing things, cutting stuff out that doesn't belong there. If you
So Matt Mulloway chimed in as well on this discussion, and he says, quote, "We think that the current interface could be a ton more streamlined, but we've compromised a lot of the alternative approaches we've wanted to take based on accessibility feedback and trying to have a single interface that serves all types of users. If we branched, it would be a different discussion and possibly serve multiple audiences better. But there's a lot of FUD, though, i.e. that it's going to be illegal in the EU," end quote.
There is a lot of FUD about all of it. So Matt's right. And I agree with that, accessibility has, this topic has grown into a much larger issue than maybe it is, but that's sort of speculative also, because we haven't had an accessibility study, or we don't have any data. And so we don't know if the FUD is real or not. And from a long time ago, and one of the ways that I originally met Ian Stewart was working on 508 compliancy 10 years ago with a terrible but fully compliant WordPress theme for 508 stuff. And so I am not as educated on accessibility standards as I used to be a long time ago. And we've tried with the BBs to keep them and make them as accessible as we all can and could. Same with EDD now and everything else. But the feedback from folks that have tested Gutenberg still has not been positive. And that is not FUD. I don't think that is facts. And adding more UI is not usually how you solve accessibility problems. Usually it is simplifying that UI down to the fundamental elements that HTML markup is based on, and not like a million React wrapper divs and spans, but like actual list boxes, buttons, anchors, things. folks that have tried to use Gutenberg with accessibility in mind or as a need for their navigating WordPress, at the WordPress's posting interface, are struggling. And that is worrisome. It's a serious issue. And it might be, the world will go on if it tips the way it is. But
well, 26 days.
26 days is not a lot of days.
26 days until November 19th, which is the first day suggested for the release of WordPress 5.0. And as I published on Twitter before the show, if WordPress 5.0 is actually released in 26 days on November 19th, it will be a modern marvel.
I can hear Carrie's eyes rolling in the back of her head when I say that I have my crappin' pants on right now when it comes to accessibility with Gutenberg and WordPress 5.0. I am wearing my crappin' pants.
Accessibility is a huge concern, but I mean, I'm talking about user flows, web, certain writing flows, how you actually use the editor, how, you know, I would like to see somebody come up with a list of things that the classic editor does better than Gutenberg does at its current version. And for example, the other day I was writing a post in Gutenberg, and at the third paragraph, I decided I wanted to include an image and align that image to the right of text within a paragraph block. It turned out to be I got so upset that I closed the editor, I stuck my head in the freezer, and I yelled at the ice tray, "I just want to insert an image into the post." I tried to,
but I get what you're saying.
so you have these three paragraph blocks. And so my thought is, okay, well, I'll just go to the beginning of this block, but there's no insert media button. You have to create an image block. So I hit enter at the end of the paragraph block. But what does that do? That creates a new paragraph block. Right. And unbeknownst to me, guess what? You cannot convert a paragraph block to an image block.
No,
and I don't really care about any of the technical limitations, mumbo jumbo, as to why that's not possible, but it's a block. As far as I'm concerned, Gutenberg, and you have all these blocks, why can't one be converted to the other? And so that drives me mad. But what I ended up having to do is click the little plus sign, actually create a new block, and figure out that that's an image block. Then I had to move. I tried to drag the image into the paragraph block. That does not work. Nope. So I had to move the image block above the paragraph block that I wanted it to be in. Then I clicked the align button, and that actually put the image into the paragraph. Folks, this is an exercise of frustration. It's nuts. I don't understand why it's this way. It shouldn't be this way. If you go into the classic editor, you just put the cursor at the beginning of the text, you insert an image, you click align right, boom, you're done. There's no guessing. You just do it. And this is one of the things. This is just a small example of why I would have preferred to see a delay in releasing Gutenberg to the masses, because there are all these different writing flows. And as I've said over the past God knows how many months, that Gutenberg being focused on the editor at this point should do you should be able to accomplish everything you can do in the classic editor with relatively the same ease, if not easier. Should be easier. And there are just some instances where that's just not the way it goes. I mean, another classic example is you just want to make a certain bit of text a certain color in Gutenberg. Mm-hmm. Well, in Gutenberg, if you highlight text and you try and make it a certain color, you make the whole paragraph that color. You can't do that. You could do that in the classic editor. But right. You can't do that in Gutenberg. So, it just drives me nuts.
As a long time existing WordPress user, Gutenberg today there were a lot of decisions and workflow issues that kind of feel very obvious to me were not at all about parity with TinyMCE or the WordPress editor we've always had. Like, there really wasn't a lot of thought put into these little, like, rich editors, you know, like these, like, very WYSIWYG. It's not a WYSIWYG editor. It's not what you see is what you get anymore. It is what you got is what we decided to give you is more how it feels. Like, yeah, there were some considerations in the UI baked in to give you a familiar right-hand column and everything else, but and not to, like, misquote or, like, poorly paraphrase Riyadh from the accessibility chat that I didn't last very long in, but he had said very squarely that if you consider Gutenberg an editor in WordPress, that, like, you have missed the point, and that Gutenberg is eventually going to be a site editor and is not a content creation tool. And so that, to be fair,
that's a whole nother in-depth conversation, but to not look at it as an editor right here and now is, I mean, what are you talking about?
It was an in-depth conversation that we won't have, but it was the level of honesty that I wish we had really had since the get-go, because if people have been looking at Gutenberg, and we've said this on the show before, and I've said it again, like, not trying to be a jerk about it, but realistically saying, like, as a pundit who's reporting on WordPress related things, if the goal isn't for there to be parity with what the old editor used to be, then someone should say so. If the goal is literally, we don't care what it used to work like, we're building a new thing. It would have been really great to have said that out loud, straightforward from the start, because if every time we keep testing Gutenberg, we keep saying, like, yeah, this ain't what it used to be. It doesn't do any of the stuff it used to do, and we're waiting for it to do those things, and it's never going to happen, then it's kind of refreshing to have someone say, hey, your expectations are wrong, and stop looking for things that are never going to happen. That hasn't been said, but the way that he positioned it, I mean, it didn't feel good to hear, but at least it got said. And that's the kind of communication that I think deserves to really be more clear, is that stuff like highlighting a piece of text and making color different, or stuff like aligning an image to the left or right or middle, if those are things that we just can't do anymore, then say so. Like, hey, this is not how this works anymore. This is a completely different thing. And, like, if what you want is the old thing, this is never going to do that. It would be nice to hear that, because it would save us a lot of time and energy and grief thinking, like, hey, this is weird. But if this is what they want it to be, say so.
No, I like the concept of blocks and stuff, but when I came up across that workflow yesterday of trying to align an image, I'm like, okay, give me the classic editor.
Well, you said that before too. You've been trying to align images and stuff for a while, and there's a lot that still feels weird, and it's hard to report in a GitHub issue. It's,
well, hey, if Gutenberg and WordPress 5.0 ships on November 19th, the floodgates will open, and we'll find out all the little workflows that don't work.
I'm going to transition us, because we don't have any show notes that tell us what we're talking about this week. I'm going to transition us a little bit, because I tried out the WordPress 5.0 beta this morning that Gary posted about, to try out what Gutenberg feels like in WordPress deeply integrated. And we've talked about this on the show before. And for the
our let me guess, WSOD.
No. Okay. All right. For our listeners, Gary Pendergast, who's been on the show multiple times, friend of the show, good guy, posted on the make.wordpress.org blog this morning that the 5.0 branch of WordPress has Gutenberg merged into it, which is like, woo, woo, I'm like super excited about. And it's what we talked about on the show before. Let's get it in. Get it merged in so that we can start really poking at what this feels like when it's deeply integrated into WordPress. Jeff and I talked off the show, but is worth mentioning kind of the code side of it, where some functions in Gutenberg are getting renamed, prefixes are being changed, all the nitty-gritty details are happening, which is all good to see. It's got to happen fast. It's really, really refreshing to go to posts and not have the Gutenberg dropdown on add new. You go to post add new and it's just Gutenberg. I pinged Gary privately because one of the issues that I had with the way that scripts got loaded in WP Admin is that you get this flash of white screen. You click post add new and it says, boom, white screen. But then it comes back and it loads it all because there's a lot going on the front end. We had fixed that, or Gary had kind of fixed that, mostly with re-enqueuing and delaying some scripts, deferring some stuff. But that's back again. But we'll, you know, Gary will figure that out later. But it feels so much nicer without all the extra Gutenberg plugin, top level menu. It feels a lot better when it is baked into WordPress core directly. Going to Pages and add new and seeing Gutenberg there without the classic editor getting in the way, to me, does help a lot. It feels native. It feels, it doesn't feel as wrong as it does when Gutenberg is a plugin to me. It feels like WordPress. The colors are right. The theme is right. The padding, the spacing, the margins. It looks and feels like WP Admin to me. It doesn't feel wrong. And that's where I think Matt does a good job. That's where I think Tofu, Matt, Riyadh do a good job of saying, like, we're working on it. We're working towards it. Trust us. It's going to be okay. When you see it this way, I think helps communicate that a lot. I haven't tried it with EDD or things that have custom post types yet. I haven't tried it with BB Press yet because it just happened this morning. But the 5.0 beta with Gutenberg like built into WordPress as like a first class feature with replacing the editor. Editor bugs or Gutenberg quirks aside, really helps these things mesh a lot nicer than it does as Gutenberg as a plugin. So for me, it helps a lot to see it this way than having it as a plugin. And we don't have, like you said, what, 26 days? It's not a lot of time. You know, you put your crapping pants on and you get to work and you've got 3 weeks to hunker down and make all this ready to go.
I'm going to tell you what, WordPress 5.0 better not ruin Thanksgiving. That's my favorite holiday.
So I agree. And that was a point that other people had made, right, that we touched on last week, is it's not good timing. It's not good timing for Thanksgiving or Black Friday or companies that are scheduled, or people that have vacation days or
Gutenberg days.
But, you know, it's this, I think, if you try out the 5.0 branch, and not that it's stable. I mean, it's not white screening. There's no white screen.
We've been using 5.0 alpha. We've been on the Bleeding Edge Nightlies in the tavern for a while, and I don't recommend that to anybody throughout this transition process, because it's been wonky and weird, and sometimes the Gutenberg plugin is not compatible with 5.0, and they've added compatibility, and so it's been kind of a crazy process.
You guys have been on Trunk.
Well, and that's
clarification for this.
Trunk.
Is that Trunk is what 5.1 will be, because it all got rearranged, which is like unprecedented in WordPress land, where Trunk has always meant the next major And now the 5.0 branch is the next major, so that trunk can be 5.1. And so for our listeners, it means that what the tavern should do is switch that from trunk to be /branches/5.0. And what you'll get is a much more stable version of WordPress that doesn't include any of the really cool stuff that has gone into what will eventually be 5.1. And so it's an interesting switch. It's the only way to solve this problem with Subversion as the technical version control system that everything is kind of governed under. But if the tavern switched to 5.0, deactivated the Gutenberg plugin, and just went with default Gutenberg baked in. I'm curious to hear next week maybe what your thoughts are, Jeff. Aside from floating images and problems and things, like if you agree with me or if you think it's I'm full of crap.
And I'll let you know one way or another. But there are two other things I want to get through before we end the show. I know we're already past an hour here, but WooSesh took place last week. It was a free virtual conference watched by thousands of people all over the world, which was a cool thing to see. There was a keynote there that kicked off the event by Todd Wilkins, head of e-commerce at Automattic, Kelly Hoffman, head of design for e-commerce at Automattic, and Aviva Pinches, product lead of the WooCommerce marketplace at Automattic. And they all sort of outline the changes of the past year and what they're working on. And something I want to let our listeners know is that one of the major changes that is coming to WooCommerce is a redesigned back end. And the project is actually being developed on GitHub as a feature plugin called WC Admin, much like how MP6 was developed for the WordPress backend. So they're treating the dashboard of WooCommerce as like a landing page where store owners will be able to see at a glance how their store is doing. The bigger news is that the new interface is powered by the React JavaScript framework, and is actually heavily using Gutenberg React components. So they have gone all in on Gutenberg and React. So if you needed another reason to learn JavaScript or React deeply, WooCommerce WooCommerce is just another reason to learn JavaScript. And if you take a look at some of the concept images of what the WC Admin backend looks like, it's night and day compared to what's there now. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be more notes and a lot more detailed information published on the WooCommerce developer blog. So definitely keep an eye on that and be able to figure out what's on tap for WooCommerce in 2019, which apparently is a lot of good stuff.
You know, it's you got to two steps forward, two steps back, right? Like plugins have been making super highly, heavily customized WordPress admin interfaces for a long time. Jetpack and theme frameworks and everything for a really long time. I checked out the new Woo React add-on a little bit, and I was, I would say, pleasantly surprised at how much they tried to stick or like hug closely to the design conventions that are already part of WordPress admin. They didn't deviate as far away from it as, say, Xtheme does or Divi Theme does or some of the form builders do. It feels pretty good. And that's always been a thing that is a concern for me, is it when you go too far away from WordPress admin, it's too unfamiliar. Jetpack for a long time has felt pretty unfamiliar in WordPress admin. And the direction that they're going with the new Woo admin interface feels pretty good. And I would add to that, that React or not, that's the most important thing, is are users comfortable with it? The technology under the hood is for us to talk about and critique as people who care about that. What matters most is that users are going to feel comfortable using it, and in a way that it's not going to require them to learn a whole new set of UI invention. So I like it. I think it looks pretty good.
And last but not least, sort of a bit of an end of an era. 12 years since Pole Daddy was founded, which was back in 2006. Automatic has retired the Pole Daddy name, is replacing it with Crowd Signal. And outside of some minor color changes, updated graphics, the service will largely remain the same. Redirects are in place, so a lot of the stuff, a lot of the links will work or the redirect to the new ones. There are a couple of domains that you might have to whitelist network admins in order to continue service. All of this stuff is published on the Pole Daddy blog, soon to be CrowdSignal blog. And one of the things that was not mentioned in the announcement was why the rebranding was necessary. And I've gotten some information behind the scenes that indicates why this has taken place. And I think I may do a follow-up post on the Tavern about this. I mean, it's Pole Daddy. And if we just look at the Pole Daddy name, it's these days it's not really considered PC. It's gender biased to daddy, and it's got all these who knows connotations applied to it. And Pole Daddy has grown to be more than just polls. It's surveys, it's quizzes. It does a lot more than just polls. I think Crowd Signal is a more apt name and a better description of what the service does. Even though Consumer Reports a few years ago had a website called Crowd Signal, and it was, had something to do with getting surveys back or data on cell phone usage or something. But so we'll have to see how they navigate that possible conflict. But now Pole Daddy will be known as Crowd Signal going forward.
The Pole Daddy name and the original logo with the lollipop and the and all that.
I've seen an article in a Wayback Machine, thank you, Internet Archive, of Pole Daddy being their client. And so they outlined all the different graphics, and they said that they Pole Daddy, I think it was David Lenihan of Sligo, Ireland, he wanted something that was risque. Yeah. And he got it. He got things that were designed risque. And I was kind of shocked at some of the things I saw, because I've never seen any of that branding after Automatic had acquired them.
It was a very clever and very hidden double entendre for how to name a piece of software. And so it's always a little surprising that this branding lasted as long as it did. Now is as good a time as any to kill it and brand it. I don't really love the Crowd Signal logo. Not that I'm like, my opinion matters to anybody at all. Yeah. But I saw that when you posted it earlier that it's, you know, that's not, it's all iterative. But it, I'm happy to see the Pole Daddy name go away. That's something that could have happened a long time ago.
We've been familiar with the lollipop, but I don't even have an idea what a lollipop was supposed to be for Pole Daddy. But when you start looking at some of the other things that were developed with the lollipop, that's when you go, oh, yeah, never. Not good.
Yep, not good. And it's good. The thing about, like, with Pole Daddy as a name, there are, like, lots of names where you can choose to find naughty bits, if that's what you
mean. GoDaddy is still GoDaddy, despite everything that's happened to them in the past.
That is exactly right. And so this is why I think, like, names are so important to get right the first time. Like, WordPress is such a great name for what WordPress is and does, that a fork of WordPress could never have a better name than WordPress. It's so good. And Pole Daddy was never a good name, I don't think. Intense Debate, not the greatest name for a piece of software. So I'm happy to see.
Say Reed commented on the article, and she says that I never used Pole Daddy specifically because of the name. The insinuation just was professional, in my view. I heartily applaud this rebrand and look forward to ditching SurveyMonkey as well. Yes, also because of the name.
Yep.
So.
Well, and Brent clarified too. It wasn't like someone at Automatic named this Pole Daddy. This was like an acquisition.
This was 2006. The company was founded in 2006 by David Lenihan in Sligo, Ireland, and Automatic acquired them in 2008.
Yep, exactly right. So,
a lot of this stuff and the branding and all that happened before Automatic got involved. Automatic still acquired them. However, to my knowledge, I don't ever remember visiting Pole Daddy or different pages and seeing the type of branding and marketing material that was created prior to the acquisition.
That's right. And it's...
there were t-shirts that were created with the logo on them that said, "Who's your daddy?"
Sure.
You can't have that today. You
can't have that today. And it's not appropriate for a company. And you're going to offend some folks, and that rightfully so. But it's... if you're looking, you're going to find it. And if Pole Daddy did polls, that's what it did. And who cares what the rest of it is, right? It's the rest of it is maybe a little suggestive if you're looking for it. It was a little in your face originally, and that got toned way down. I think this has been a long time coming, and it's good for a company like Automatic to finally make this move. This is smart.
And, so all the people out there who still have them, take care of your Pole Daddy lollipop stickers. Put them on that laptop.
That is vintage.
Them, take care of them. It's vintage.
That is vintage. I still really don't like crowd signal. I don't know.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's gonna do it for that. I don't have anything else to talk about. We're already way past an hour here, and I'm feeling a little under the weather. So unless you have any other things you would like to talk about, John, which I know there are, but you probably, for the sake of your co-host here, you probably won't talk about.
Not gonna keep you. We are though 7 days away, and so are we doing a Halloween show?
Yes. So I have tried to reschedule the CEO from Tiny. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but we'll try and have him on Halloween, and that actually may end up be a later recorded time show. We will talk about that after the show. But yes, we will have a Halloween episode.
Are you dressing up?
No, I'm not dressing up. I'm already dressed. I'm already dressed up.
You're playing the role of a podcast host.
I should get a white suit that's made with Velcro, and then I could get Velcro blocks, and I could be Gutenberg, the editor, and you could just move blocks all over my body.
That's a good idea.
It's not really. It's not really. So you can find
floating images on the right hand side of your body.
So you can find shows for this show and every other episode on WP Tavern. com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0, where the Gutenberg complaints will continue.
Oh, I hope not. I hope they stop eventually. JJJ.blog at JJJ on GitHub and Twitter, and we will hopefully have a spooky episode next week.
Yes, we will have a boo of a time.
So you'll find the show notes for this episode and every episode. I feel like I should take over for your parts, Jeff, since you're not feeling well. How about this? Say goodbye, Jeff.
Goodbye, Jeff. Goodbye, John. Goodbye, everybody.